this power. And when you feel it, you got to look and see who's around you. You got to go, who's got this power on them? Who's got the grace of God on them? Because I'm going to get right up on them and I'm going to hold tight to them. Because you can partake of their grace. If you will be so bold to say, what are you doing in life, man? Why is the grace of God on you so strong? Can you lead me? Can you show me what you're doing? And if you'll do that, the grace, you will partake of their grace, and then you'll have some grace, and you can share back and forth. And that's how things happen. And if you get a church that does that, man, the state's going to know about you. The world's going to know about you because God is nationwide. You know, it's a wonderful thing. When you start doing that stuff, it's a very wonderful thing. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, I'm going to read about Brother Paul. You know, he's a good example of this. And I like talking about Paul because he is an example of what a man after, you know, after God just really loved God. I mean, he just really put it all in. And he wrote half of the New Testament, you know. He's credited half of the New Testament. It's Brother Paul. And just if you see any of his letters anywhere, he's telling you exactly what I'm telling you right now. He's telling you how to be blessed, how to minister, how to get God in your life, and how to be talking like I'm talking, and how to be excited and be on fire for God. Because that's all we all want. Man, we want to move. We want to shake. We want to shake the building. We want to see God. You know, we want the Holy Spirit to move. But, you know, you move the church and the church moves you. It's one of those things. You come ready. You bring your notebook. You come to study. This is a college class that they don't teach down there at Arkansas Tech. They don't teach this down at the elementary schools and high school. You got to get up and come get this, and it's for free. But it's so simple, a lot of people will miss it. And when they get here, they come here and they acknowledge that God exists. They acknowledge all this stuff that we're saying, but they really don't catch them key notes and bring them home and study them and get down on your knees and say, God, where's this? What are they talking about? Is there a power? Is there a Holy Spirit that would roll with me? Do I have a power trapped up in my bones? Is there treasures locked in me? I cannot urge or stress enough the power that is in you and the things that you can do if you will apply faith, courage, and love. With those three things right there, you can accomplish anything. Persistency, consistency. Write it down. Set your aim every morning. Talk to God every day. You don't miss a day. When you're in love with God, when you're rolling and you're a Christian, you call yourself a believer, you do not miss a day of the Word of God. This is what you eat, you drink, you live on this. You know, you get so hooked on it, you'll be obsessed with it, you know. Anyway, I love God. God is so good. He's good to His people, you know. If somebody says, God never been good to me, you've never met God then. You've not been good to God. You haven't done nothing. None of your ways have pleased God. You don't know Him. You haven't introduced yourself to Him. You know, you've been fronting and faking. But anyhow, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just welcome you into this church. I welcome you into my heart to speak through me. The Holy Ghost, Christ Jesus, just use me as a vessel tonight. Open the hearts of the Christians out here, Father God. You know which ones need to hear it most. You know which ones came to learn and to get a word. You know which ones are ready to be doers, Father God. You know exactly what they need to hear, so let them hear it tonight. In Jesus' name, I just love you. Amen. You know, you can't have peace without grace. It just don't work. You know, some Christians or some people that have been born again, they'll come in here and they'll get baptized and they'll say the sinner's prayer, and then they'll go out. I'll see them in Walmart and things like that, and they're back to what they're doing, and you know they've probably said, "Give me peace, Father. Or I'm praying for this, and it never come to pass." You know, you don't get none of that just by getting baptized. You don't get grace's favor. Grace is God's favor. You know, you get that when you show out for God, when you're acting out of love. That's the first commandment: to love thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy body, and thy soul. It's not just acknowledging that you love him, that there's a God exists, you have to acknowledge him with your mind. That means think about him constantly. You can put him on a back burner while you take care of your day-to-day responsibilities. It can happen. You can do this. But it takes discipline and practice. It takes a want to. You know, you can honor him with your soul. You can honor him with everything you have, your heart. And when you do this, that's when you begin to get grace. And the new Christians, the ones that get born again, they don't receive this because they don't do none of this. They don't honor God. They expect, because they get baptized, now I'm going to go pray and it should come to me. And it don't work like that. You know, but I seen that girl that got saved in here the other night. What was her name? McKenna in Walmart. And, you know, I told her and I tried to break it down for her. I said, you have to get in the Word, McKenna. I said, that's the way it works. I said, that was the first step, man. You've got 37 more steps. I said, you know, before, this is a process. This ain't something simple. You got to earn your way into heaven. You got to earn God's favor. Those who got it, you'll know, and you just ask them, and they'll tell you how they got there. But, you know, I'd like to see the whole church, everybody, and that's what Paul talks about here, and we'll get into it. But he's writing a letter to the Philippines, the church in Philippi, and that's 800 miles away from where he's at in prison. You know, he's in prison for the gospel, for preaching the gospel. And he tells them in here, he says, you continue to serve God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. He said, and I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to partake from my grace, from what I'm doing, because you're helping me out, and you're my partners in the gospel. He said, the grace that I got on my life from writing this word and the love that I have for God, I'm going to share with you, you know. And he wants them to have grace on their life. He wants to share it together like a snowball effect. Get it rolling. Once it's in your life, my life, the whole church is doing it, and you've all got your goals set, and we're all one mind, one goal. Man, it's just a beautiful thing. Jesus is subject to show up on the front row. You know, I mean, that's how powerful it is, guys, and that's how you got to believe. You cannot get complacent to this world. It is all in here. Paul visited with Jesus. That's why his letters are so beautiful. I mean, he's seen Jesus, and so he's got a little more incentive than some of us because he's seen Jesus. But, man, if you ever just get into it, you'll just about see him. You know, I'm asking him every day. I'm going, come on, ain't nobody around. You know, I'm like, come on, let's do this, man, because I feel you. I feel you. He's like the wind, you know. You can feel it, but you can't see it. You can hear it, you can't see it. It's moving stuff around all day long, but you can't see it, but you know it exists. Man, God's the same way. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion. See, he wants to do that for everybody. He wants to carry it on to completion. But it don't happen for everybody because everybody don't want to do the work of God. They don't want to spread the gospel. They got excuses. They clog up the flow, you know, so it just don't work out for everybody. But he wants to do it for everybody. You know, it's like we've got our armed forces. We've got the Army. We've got the Air Force. We've got the Navy. And they all have a position to do. They've all got, they're to protect the United States. You know, if something goes on, they call these guys. They have to train. They're not just sitting at the house doing nothing on their days off when they're not at war. They're practicing. They're training. Every day they're mentally, physically, spiritually training for something happens to our country, they're going to be ready to go. Their mind, they're going to be equipped. Their body's going to be equipped. They're going to be ready for war. And some of them may be good at closing the gap. Some of them may be good at finding where the enemy hides out. Some of them may be good at shooting. You know, they got different skills, but they come together as a family and they work on these skills. And that's where the church has got to come together. And we have to take a step. Somebody's got to take a step. And we got to come together outside of the church and inside of the church. This can't be the only time we get together, whether it's Bible studies, in the grocery store, wherever we meet up. That needs to be a daily thing for us. We need to spend time together. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have your gift, we need to get in your house and pray it on you. We need to see what your gift is. Because if we can get to that point, everybody's pretty much on point in here. I mean, the family tonight, the ones that are in here, I mean, y'all guys aren't the Sunday just nod crowd. You know what I mean? You guys are like, you guys know what I'm talking about pretty much. But we should be on this, guys, Bible study and just working together, because if it happens, I know God wants to do something in here. It's in my soul, and I heard Brother Angelo preach about it Wednesday. Kelly preached about it the Sunday morning before last Sunday, and I already had this written 2 weeks ago. I've been working on this for 2 weeks. And I was like, she's preaching my message. He's preaching my message. You preached out of Philippians 4, chapter 4, and you said you was a slave, not a slave of Christ, but to live as Christ, to die as gain. I said, man, I was saying that last night when I was writing. And, you know, that's because we're one body, one spirit, same goal. And that's the way everybody in this church will be. God will rearrange your thoughts and have you already knowing what Kelly's thinking and what she's going to preach when she gets here, because it's what you wanted her to preach on, what you needed to hear. And just everything in your life will go like that. Whatever your goals are will go. Everything will be lined up for you. It's very beautiful, guys. The story is just beginning when you start serving God, when you start doing this. And it is beautiful. I encourage you guys. I can't make you do it, but, man, I want to. You know? Because it takes so much to make you do it. I mean, it takes so much to really. I know what it took for me to get there, so I know it's not easy. It's not easy. It takes some want to. It takes somebody to get up off their butt in the morning and say, God, let's roll. What you got? What are we doing? And it takes every day getting in this word and reading it for yourself. And because I can tell it to you, and you, but you got to do it because God's got to see it. God's got to see it. God's got to see that heart shift. When he sees it, that's when the magic's going to happen. When he sees you take the incentive, nobody else, you're not at the mercy of any man or woman, it's God. When he sees it, everybody else is going to see it. They're going to be like, all right, he must have been doing something with God. God don't need anybody's permission but yours. I promise you. And he doesn't wait around. He won't leave you waiting or questioning him. He'll just show up and handle his business like he's supposed to, like a good father does, you know. It is right for me to think this way about you. This is Paul talking to the church. He said, it's right for me to think this way about you. He's talking about God completing the work in their life, right? He's saying God's going to complete the work in your life. He's writing this letter. He's saying God's going to go. I'm praying that he completes the work in your life. He said, it's okay for me to think this way about you. And in other words, I know that it's going to happen. And I'm talking because it's okay for me to think this way about you because I have you in my heart and you are all partners with me in grace. The King James Version says partakers, but this says partners in the NIV. So, but either way, partners, you know, partner means like business partners. You know, they're partners in grace. They're partners in grace. And so he says, it's okay for me to think this way about you because you're riding on my grace. I got you. You know what I mean? I've been had you. The only reason that you're really doing as good as you are is because you're riding with me. My love for God. If it wasn't for, I could go as far as saying we are partakers of Paul's grace. If it wasn't for the gospel and the revelation that he took the time to write, he got this from Jesus. Jesus gave it. He put several times in here that, you know, this is from Jesus and God. This isn't Paul making this up. He got this revelation straight from Jesus to give it to us. And, you know, we're partaking 2,000 years later from Paul's grace. That's how strong the Word of God is. Paul probably didn't know 2,000 years later we were going to be still blessed through it, but God did. And so we're still being blessed from Brother Paul, you know. But you got to dig to find that. You know, you got to dig to find this. You can't just, a lot of Christians, they'll get what's easy. You know, they'll pick up what's off the top there. But man, if you want what's in here and you want your life to change and you want some things to happen, then you're going to have to get in there and dig. You know, there's gold inside the mountain. There's flakes on top of it. There's flakes on top of it. But you get inside the mountain where the real gold is, you'll find stuff that you never knew existed because ain't nobody talking about it. And the ones that are talking about it are right here. Nobody's listening, you know. They're letting it go through one ear and out the other. You really got to want it, guys. And a lot of times people got to get spiritually broken before they ever get to this point. It'd be nice if you could just get it, you know. If somebody just take the preacher or take the deacons or take the minister at their word and just say, hey, man, that sounds good. If that's true, man, I'm going to try that out. I'm going to give the next year of my life straight to God. You know, you give a year of your life to everything else all the time. I'm just going to give a year of my life to God and see what happens. I promise you'll be the best year, but it ain't going to happen in a day, and it's not going to happen in a week. It's going to take some time because you just can't make your mind up and say, I'm ready to do this, God. I'm ready to do everything you want me to. It's hard to talk you into going to minister to somebody at Walmart. You get in there and you see one of your buddies and you don't even want to act like a Christian no more. You want to go back to talking what they were talking about. God ain't going to bless you through that. You have to be who you say you are every day, all day. And they got to know it. And they got, because God, what he's getting out of this is when they see you and you're blessed, you're going to say, God done this for me, bro. God done this for me, sister. This is what you need to be doing. And let them know that they've got to, you know, preach the gospel. That is what we are here to do, is preach the gospel. Nothing has changed from 2,000 years ago. Jesus was sent here to preach the gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel. The only thing different is it's a lot easier for us. It's a lot easier for us. They got killed. They got martyred. You know, all of them got martyred for the gospel. We get intimidated. You know, I mean, that's what I look at when I go to Walmart or go to town and I'm gonna preach the gospel or try to, and I'm coming up with new ways too to do it. You know, like I've made a survey. I was like, now I walk up to him. I was like, hey, can I ask you a survey? I got a 3-question survey, you know. And a lot of them, yeah, go ahead, what you got? I'm like, did you know you're going somewhere when you die? Do you know where it is? And no. I said, well, did you know that there's a counselor that actually will come and speak to you after you get saved? And then they start looking at you like, ah, man, this ain't no survey I'm used to, you know. And then I go, what, did you know Jesus died for your sins? You know, then they'll either shut me down or they'll open up to it. But some of them will shut you down. And that's cool. You know, that's part of it. That's the suffering that we go through that Paul talks about. That's the suffering. I mean, we didn't have to suffer like they did. They had to die, man, and be martyred and put in prison for the gospel. But our suffering's a little lighter, you know, but we still deal with that. And believe it or not, it's hard for some of us to do that. And but you do it, guys, and it ain't, God will bless you. He will bless you through it almost instantly. I mean, almost instantly, I got to where I was doing 3 of them a day, you know, because the blessings were coming in so quick. I was like, I'm about this life, God. I said, I want you to train me to be a speaker. I want to be blessed. I said, you tell me what to do. I said, I will not be discouraged or fear, man. I said, I won't do that. I said, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I want to be restored in heaven when I leave here for doing it. You know, and some of them, when you go to hit them with the gospel, you know, you got to come at them from a, maybe like an artist point of view, like from love, you know, don't just, if you know that they have a perspective about Christians already, because they do, and we know that they do, but we still got to preach the gospel, so let's make it light on ourselves, you know. So come at them at another angle. Don't come at them trying to save them all in one day. Say, okay, I'm just going to get to know them today, and I'm not going to ask them, you know, I'm not going to leave a bad taste in their mouth with just judging them or asking them why they're sinning or they need to get in church, because they're gonna give you the cold shoulder. So get to know them, let them like something about you or something. You know what I mean? Start a relationship with them and let God kind of have a part in it. That's what I've noticed from doing this. Get to talk to them a little bit and stuff here and there, and it may take a week or two, but they'll end up asking you what church you go to. You know, they start seeing that you're the salt of the earth now. You know, there's something about you that they like, that they want to add to their life. But if you'd have walked up on them and you'd have said, hey, man, did you know Jesus died for your sins? The perspective is, oh, he's a Christian. I mean, that's what the world's perspective is these days. Used to be we were honored and respected. Now, a Christian is the only person that you can disrespect and get away with it. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. And that's part of the suffering, too. I was going to preach in the beginning. I was going to preach about in 2020, you know, they went to the satanic synagogue, went to our state capitol in Arkansas and said that the Ten Commandments were recognized, that they wanted their statue, their satanic statue to be put next to it, or they wanted the Ten Commandments up. And our governor was like, man, get out of here with that, you know? So we got, I was like, okay, good for him. You know, he's a Christian, so that's what's up. But Oklahoma, they snatched the Ten Commandments up and called it unconstitutional, you know, because they wanted to put, and so these guys are working hard out there. We need to get out there and make sure we snuff them guys out, man, and change the perspective. Oh, and God's got our back, you know, God's got our back. But you see this stuff on the news, man, and on the internet, it's like, what the heck is the world coming to? They're taking our Ten Commandments up? You know, it's like, but it drives me to want to do more. It drives me to want to get out there because, man, I'll tell you a story. I was in Franklin County Jail several years ago, and I was in there for some things I didn't do. Me and my wife were at some issues, going through some issues, and she had some ties in with the law, and I owned my house and the land free and clear. But when we started arguing, she called her law buddy up and had me picked up and held in the county jail for criminal trespassing and breaking and entering and theft of property on my land that her name wasn't even on. So I thought, okay, man, this is what Paul was going through, you know. But during my time there, man, there was nothing this was the old Ozark jail. There was nothing in there but Satan synagogues. They all was either Wicca, voodoo, they all serve something else. And I'm a Christian. Whether I was in jail or whether I was in the street, I serve God, whether I'm up or whether I'm down. And so I read my word all the time, and I'm in the word of God, and I'm ministering to people, and I'm praying for people, and I'm just telling them what the word really is, because there are a few people that are praying for things. I can remember a guy named Chris. He would read his Bible, and he would pray all the time. And he wanted his girlfriend to come see him on Sunday. And he'd be in his Bible almost all day. He'd be in his Bible, and nothing was getting done. His girlfriend wouldn't come see him, and I told him, I said, that ain't how it works. You know, man, I'm kind of talking about what we're talking about. You've got to show acts of faith and love, man. It's a process. God ain't trying to be in a relationship with you to what you can get out of it. He wants to see if you love him or not. You know, so you got to love him first and be okay with your girlfriend never coming to see you. You got to be okay with his will. But as I'm doing this and I'm preaching the gospel to him and a few other guys, I'm rallying up the spirits that are in there. It's like 30 guys on top of each other in here. And these guys are devoted Satan synagogues, you know. And I'm like the only Christian that probably will fight for the word in here, you know. And so they come at me and they're wanting to debate Christianity and debate and try to contradict me and this and that. And I go to my room and I begin to pray. I said, God, I said, man, you got me in here and I don't want to get in and make, because I'm in here and I know they're going to drop the charges because I haven't done nothing. But now if I get in here and I fight and I get a battery charge, I said, now you're going to have to back me up because it's over the word of God. And I begin to pray and begin to pray. And, you know, I could feel the spirits, our spirits just like going at it. I was just real uneasy in this place, man. And there was a guy that come, it was just so cool. I was just very cool. I wish I could give it to you step for step, but I can't remember everything. But as I was praying, a few hours went by, got it, and this guy come from a center from Texarkana. It was called the Alpha or the Omega Center. Really cool. You know, I thought, how cool even to come from the Omega Center. And he had a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper was a letter, and it said to the son or something to somebody. It was like a son of God, and he slid it under my door into the cell block, and I read it, and I had just got done reading Revelations 3:7 in my cell, and that piece of paper had Revelations 3:7 on it, and it was talking about, oh man, it was just really cool. It's talking about the angel in Philadelphia. You have had little faith, and you have been around Satan's synagogues. He said, you haven't denied me. He said, you've been faithful with little. He said, I'll give you more power than you can handle. And I begin to rejoice, man. And that was just a very good time in my life. But, you know, I remember things like that God's done for me when it comes to the gospel and ministering to people. You know, he's going to back you 100% every time. I just encourage you guys to get out there and do what we're here to do. You know, do what we're here to do. So I'm in verse 8 here. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all you. With the affection of Christ Jesus, I pray this, that your love will keep growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. I pray that your love will keep growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so your love can grow. So your love is just not a feeling. Your love can grow. Once you realize what love is, whether it's an action, whether it's a feeling, you realize what God's love is, you'll understand that there's no depth. There's art and journey, and it can grow. And when you plunge the depths of this, guys, it says you will grow from knowledge. Your love will grow like a seed. Your love will grow, and its soil is knowledge. So we water our love with knowledge, and your knowledge is right here. I'm giving you the knowledge. This is the knowledge. This is how your love grows. But you've got to get into it for yourself and water it every day, every day, every day. And you'll understand the things that I'm talking about to you tonight. And what Brother Angel and what Kelly talks to you about, you'll understand them and prove them for yourself. Why things are the way they are. Why faith is faith. And why we have these tools to operate with. And why things are set up the way they are. You will approve them and go, oh, wow, that's so awesome that he set it up like that. Like he's letting them weed themselves out. He's training sons and daughters. He's preparing us for heaven. And this is his way of preparing us. You will see this for yourself. Once you start plunging the depths of love, you'll approve the things that are superior. You know? And the discernment is the perception in the absence of judgment, obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. So when it says knowledge and every kind of discernment, that means when you do see something that you don't jive with or you ain't cool with, you have the discerning spirit to discern it. You'll be able to, you know, discern it for yourself without judging it with a spiritual advisor, with the spirit instead of the worldly flesh or instead of a worldly opinion. You'll be able to discern it in the spirit because everything's spiritual. When you're in a spiritual world and you're trying to live in a world and you're trying to go at it from the world's point of view, you're never going to succeed. So you got to get spiritual with it. But the Bible's a love story altogether. If you really want to just get down to it, this whole Bible is just God's love affair with the human race. That's all it is. I mean, from the front to the back, it's stories of us messing up, mankind messing up, and God saving us. Mankind messing up again, and God saving us. The Mosaic covenant, the David covenant. You know, Jesus made the covenant. There's five covenants, I think, that he made with mankind to save us. Every time we would mess up, it's just his love. Every story is something that he's doing out of love to save us. But every action causes a reaction. If you act out of love, you can expect something else to happen. You know, you have to try it for yourself. Apply it in your own life. You know, I could talk to you about it all night, but every action will cause a reaction. As soon as you touch a heart, you change somebody's heart. I can motivate you tonight, and I could tell you this and that, but if you don't take that out there in the world and use it, you're not going to see nothing. I can tell you, and you can play with the thought all day long. And what humans do, they have this thing about them. They'll play with something. They'll know it's the truth. You'll know it. It just sounds too good, but you've been playing with the thought way too long, and you done found a way to rationalize it in something you believed 10 minutes ago. Now you're not believing it. You know, until somebody else comes back and hits you with a different perspective, then it'll change your thought again. You don't let nobody do that to you besides what the Word of God says. You do that to the unbeliever and change their perspective. You know, you get your perspective and you hang on to it. You get the perspective of what God says about you, and that's how you wake up and that's how you go to bed. You know, verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Filled with the fruit of righteousness. My goodness, that sounds good. I want to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. When I see that, I think of a tree bearing every kind of fruit known to man. But I don't think of it as fruit. I think of it as like spiritual gifts. Boldness, courage, strength, healing powers, speaking in tongues. There's all kind of things. You know, there's so many. What can you imagine? Because you can't imagine what God can imagine for you. He goes way farther than your imagination is even programmed. But whatever you can imagine is what your fruit of righteousnesses are. There comes all kind of stuff when you're righteous. You know, it's just about getting up and going to get it. It characterizes our actions and our attitudes, and it produces all kind of things that you cannot get by just acknowledging what Christ done on the cross. That was the definition for it. I was pretty close. But characterized by actions and attitudes, and it produces all kinds of things that you cannot get by just acknowledging what Christ done on the cross. You got to do more than just acknowledge it. And that's what the Christians do. That's what 90% of the Christians do. They just acknowledge it. You know, Paul wasn't just acknowledging it. These people in here teaching us the gospel, they're not just acknowledging it. They're telling you to not conform to the world's ways. I was talking to a guy the other day, and I was inviting him to church, doing my gospel thing, advancing the gospel. And he says, I believe in God. I pray out in my shop. He says, and I go to the woods and this and that. He said, I love God. I just don't love the Christians. I said, well, look, man, you can't love God unless you love the Christians. See, that's, you're not going to make it like that. And some of these people are under that belief. Maybe he really believes that. He seemed like he believed that. I told him, I said, you can't do that. I said, you've got to love. The first commandment is to love God. The second is to love each other. You've got to be able to love. I've got to be able to love Frank as much as I love myself or more. Is that going to take work? Yeah, but I can tell you guys right now, I love Frank more or just as much as I love myself. Because when you love God with all your heart, and this is how it works, when you really love him with all your heart, you start with loving him, you love yourself less. You love yourself less because you're doing more for God. You're getting inconvenient for his convenience. You're steadily doing things that you do not want to do for God to please him. And in that process, you loving yourself a little less and loving him a little more. So the second commandment comes easy, almost natural. And it's the way he designed it. So sweet and so smooth. You look at the second one and you're like, well, it's kind of easy to love Frank now that I've been I ain't telling you to hate yourself, but love God more. You know, love God more than yourself. And no, you have to reject the world. You know, that's, don't give in to the worldly things and do what God says. That takes work. You got to, you know, work at it and stuff. But it is doable. And them are the most important commandments. And that's actually what I'm preaching on tonight. Or 1 and 2, commandment 1 and 2. That was the title of my message. And then I changed it to, are you active? You know, like there, right, the day before yesterday. I was like, nah, are you active sounds good. Like, are you active? Are you active in the gospel, advancing the gospel? Are you active in the word? Are you really doing what you're supposed to be doing, or are you just acknowledging God? I mean, because it's the cold truth. Nobody wants the truth, but it's what it is, you know. It's so sweet to be able to say, hey, I'm active. If you're in the Army and you are, you know, you're in the Navy, the Marines, and you're not active, you're not working. You're not getting nothing. You're not working. You're no threat. You're not, you know, if you're not a Christian and you're not active, you're not doing nothing. You're not receiving nothing. You're not doing it. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So you got to make sure you're active, and we can help each other stay active. And that's why the Bible studies and for us to mingle outside of church and all that is, you know, I can say it now, we can clap and we can praise God. Yeah, we need to get together. But if we don't get on Facebook and touch each other's hearts throughout the week and come up with a plan and get to rolling, get that snowball rolling, you'll never see nothing. 5 years will go by and you'll still be talking about the same thing. Somebody's got to take a step of faith. Somebody's got to do some action moving. My house is open to anybody that wants to do a Bible study. You know, that's what I do at my house. I got the table set up and somebody... The men and women that want to come over there and really get into the scripture on days off, We can set it up and do it, and we bring your goals, bring your ambition, and bring the power of God, and you'll see some things happen in your town and in your church. And tell God what you want. I almost bought everybody vision boards. I almost went to the Dollar Tree and got everybody a vision board tonight. Because I want you guys to know how important it is. What are you expecting from God? I heard a guy say, I don't want nothing from God. Well, you need to thank him for all he's given you then. You know? If you don't need nothing, you need to start thanking him for what he's given you. I mean, you healthy, you got money, you're just good. Everything's going good in your life. Like, I know, you know, Christians that was saved 7 years old, they need stuff from God, man. But get you a vision board. If not, I'll get you one. Expect something from God, whether it's with your health, whether it's with your relationship, whether it's financial, whether it's you want to go to school to be something. It don't matter. My vision, before I leave this world, before I leave, I told God, I said, man, I want there to be a class in Arkansas, all around Arkansas, where they teach the Word of God as a history and as a have-to class that they get graded on it. I said, it just doesn't make any sense to a logical thinker or a spiritual thinker that they're not teaching our kids this, to how to live in the Spirit and our Creator who created. It just doesn't make any sense. I said, before I leave this planet, Father, I said, I want in Arkansas for there to be a class in all the schools, for it to be a thing, that we're the first state, the second state, I don't care, but I want to see the word being taught in the schools. Where one man would say, oh man, that ain't going to happen because the legislation and this is that and the other. Man, get out of my way. You know what I mean? You got to get out of my way. You know, I can change your perspective if you'll open your mind. You know, but them are closed-minded people. You don't want them in your circle because they'll water down the power of God if you even listen to them. You focus on what you want, what God told you. And if you're living by this word, can't nobody tell you no. It's just that simple. Kelly was preaching about faith the other day. Said, man, a man with faith. I forget who she was talking about in the word. But I was like, man, I'm that modern-day man. I was like, that's me. I'll take that. I was like, I'm that guy today, you know. And that's what it is. That's what we all need to be. And this is, I love the Word of God. It gets me going. And I want it to get you guys going. And once you see the power of it, man, you'll be obsessed with it when you see it working. So write you some stuff down. Start living by it. And when those prayers start getting answered and those visions start getting answered, you'll start going, oh, man, yeah, what, I just got answered. What, did I just get that phone call? Now, I'm on a whole nother vision board. You'll be getting excited and you'll be wanting to tell somebody, but nobody will be listening. And so you'll have to rejoice in your own. And it's hard sometimes to keep yourself going when ain't nobody rooting for you. But once the ball gets rolling and they see, oh, man, okay, he was talking about something. You know, now they want to listen and see what was going on. But I encourage you guys, don't wait on somebody to get the ball rolling. Get your own ball rolling and just continue to be persistent with it. And like I said, my house is open and I'm excited to have brothers and sisters at the house that really want to believe and see breakthroughs and that really want to dig deep into the Word and praise God and pray for our community and do things like that, because that's what we're here to do. That is our purpose here on this planet. I mean, I know we got our day-to-day jobs, but we do that too. When you're at your job, you carry it with you. You carry it to the workplace. You carry it to the gym. You carry it to the church. You carry it around with you, inside you. It becomes you, guys. But advance the gospel. Yeah, if you don't remember nothing I say else tonight, remember that. Advance the gospel, because everything else follows it. If you just ask yourself that tonight, when's the last time I advanced the gospel? I'll tell you, I wrote Kelly down in my notes because the manna center. Now, that came, and she established that, but man, that was like a big moment in Kelly's, I bet you, in her spirit world, in her walk with God, that was like on her vision board and stuff. So when she done that, she was like, oh, yeah, what's next? What's on that vision board next? And that's what I was telling God this evening when I was praying. I was like, you know, I was like, she knocked that manna center down like it wasn't nothing. I was like, not only did she get the manna center, but they paid for it. I said, that's how God rolls. You didn't know they were going to pay for it. You were like, we're going to get it somehow, right? Yeah, and that's how God works. He's got a million ways to do it, but if you don't write it down, you're not being taken serious. Write the stuff down so you can see it every day, and the wonderful thoughts when you see it, you know, and it'll kind of, when your life is, let me go ahead and read before I get onto the notes, read the scripture that I got in reference to. Okay, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advance of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard. So he's in jail. Paul's in jail. He's telling his family in Philippi, he's saying, the church, he's saying, don't worry about me. He said, where I'm at, he said, it's to advance the gospel. He said, because, he said, the imperial guard, that's like a special elite crew that gets right beside the emperor and the empress, the one, like the kings and queens. And he said, I'm right here under their, in their nest. He said, I'm putting the word of God in their ear. He said, I'm here for a reason. And as I'm reading this, I thought, you know, I'm putting myself there. I even looked up the pictures of what the Rome jail looked like and stuff so I could get an idea of where he was at. And I go, man, so he was in here. He's probably eating three times a day, had a cot. You know what I mean? In his mind, he's probably a motel. You know, he's sitting there. He's laid up, got a place to lay down in the shade. He's eating. He's being taken care of. And what better place to be to write the gospel, to write and pray? Nobody's messing with him there. And that was his mindset. I'm in jail, yeah, but I'm in here writing the word of God, the revelation that Jesus has given me. This is to further the gospel. Man, this guy, no wonder he went on to writing half of the New Testament. His attitude of being in jail, most of us would have been in there sucking our thumbs, begging to get out. I mean, you just think about it. How many of y'all would have been in there going, oh, praise God. You know, praise God, I'm in here writing the gospel. He had a good attitude because he knew the power of God. And he goes on to saying, what does it matter, man? He says, what does it matter as long as the gospel's getting spoken? He said, I rejoice and I proclaim. He said, there's some people in here that are rivalries. You know, some people are seeking to bring me anxiety. He said, but I don't care. He said, I'm spreading the gospel, and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. He said, and by doing this, I know that it's going to bring my deliverance around. So he knew when God gets ready for me to get out, these doors are going to come open just like they did in Acts. You know, because this wasn't his first rodeo. He'd been to jail 7 times for preaching the gospel. You know, the last time he was in jail, he got to singing, and an angel come down, and a storm come through, and all the doors come flying open, and the guards walked him out. Said, these are men of God. The guards walked Paul out and said, he said, come to my house. He said, save me and my family. What do we have to do? You're a man of God. You know, they said, we believe what you're saying. You know, they took him and Silas, I think it was, isn't it? And just walked him out. Well, said, let's get out of here, man. He said, I'm with you now. You know, so the power of God is real, guys. I encourage you to get into it. Get into it, get into it, get into it. And I'm just going to tell you real quick ways that we can, examples, and I'm going to wrap it up unless somebody wants prayer. So y'all think about that. I'm going to pray for anybody that wants prayer. And I'm going to give you some examples real quick, and then I'm going to close, if not, or hand it back to Kelly. Some examples of how to spread the gospel without having to deal with that. You know, I said survey questions, 3-question surveys. You know, be salty with it. You know, put some flavor on it. They ain't like they're going to beat you up. You know, all they can do is give you a smirk or accept it. You'll change a heart, win a soul. You know what I mean? Encouraging hour. Come up with an encouraging hour once every other day. We got a 7 o'clock encouraging hour. Sometimes I forget, and God don't care as long as I really forgot. You know, I don't make him a promise I can't keep. But I go out at 7 o'clock. I'll go to Walmart, and I still gotta. It takes me pushing myself, but it helps me stand up here tonight. Even I'm even better from doing that. I stand up here more bold, so it works. He uses it in all kind of situations. If you step out. Go out and encourage people. Just tell them that, hey, you know, hey, you look very good, or you compliment their shoes, compliment them, tell them, give them a scripture, give them a compliment, pick a non-believer and start building a relationship with them. Don't push the gospel, but just encourage them with actions to see if they will take the bait. And then later, you know, give it to them slow. Some of them will reject you. And if you really are doing this for a lifestyle and not just a quick, weak hobby, then you want to be, you know, start getting into it and you know, have fun with it. Have fun with it, you know. Have fun. Get a buddy. Get a buddy and go out. That's probably the best way to do it, is get you a buddy and go out there and do it so y'all both can receive the blessings and then call and rejoice in the Lord. Hey, you was believing in this. I was believing in this. We've been doing this, and look what happened. Got a friend to go with you and pray before you go out. Pray before you go out. I'm telling you, I pray before I go out, and if I tell God to line them up, they're so more accepting. Like they're like, oh, I needed to hear that. You do not know what I've been going through. Anytime I've prayed, it's always been like, I look up, God, give me the right people. There'll be somebody standing in the road. You know, stuff like that. Don't get discouraged if they reject you. It's part of the process. We are changing perspectives about Christians and saving souls because we are the coolest people in the world, and they need to know the truth. Plus, you get the chance to water that seed you planted, you know? So I love you guys and appreciate you.
Amen. Are y'all all good and